Tithing can save your life. Tithing can save your life. Why? Why can it do that? Because to tithe is actually to trust. In order to tithe, you've got to trust God. You've got to trust that you're not a fool for giving away money. And so what? Who cares? Like, why is trusting important? Because trusting is a prerequisite of love. In order to really be able to love, you have to trust. And so trust and faith kind of go together. The word, the original word, if you go back and look in the New Testament that's used, it's very similar. Trusting and having faith are very similar. And so what's important about that is that when you trust God, you can love him, because you're not going to love somebody that you don't trust. Like, love requires that you have trust. So I'm going to give three examples in scripture, three lessons in scripture about tithing that are really key. First one, Zacchaeus. So here's this guy. He's a really wealthy man. It says in the, Luke 19, it says he's really wealthy. And, but even though he's really wealthy, like, so what that he's really wealthy, he finds out that Jesus is coming into his town, which is Jericho, the town that the walls had fallen down, and the walls are just about to fall down in Zacchaeus's life. And so, like, what walls are going to fall? He's really wealthy, and yet he's looking for something more, because wealth doesn't fill the hole in your heart. The hole in your heart is infinite, and only the infinite, who is God, can fill it. So here's Zacchaeus, really wealthy, with his infinite hole in his heart. And he finds out Jesus is coming, and he climbs a tree because he's short. And as he's up in the tree, Jesus is walking by. And as Jesus passes below him, he says, "Zacchaeus, come down. I mean to dine with you today." So Zacchaeus jumped down out of the tree, and he's excited, like, Jesus has actually recognized me. And so he's going to go, and Jesus is going to go with him, and they're going to go eat together. But then some of the scribes and Pharisees of the people say, like, "Do you even know who you're eating with? Like, this man is a sinner." So Zacchaeus hears this, and what's he say? He pronounces, like, well, gosh, even though he may have sinned, he probably did. He said, "I will give away up to one half of my possessions. I'll give away half of my possessions. And anybody that I've extorted money from, anybody that I've cheated, I will repay what I've cheated fourfold." So what a transition that happened in his life. Those walls came tumbling down in his life. And what does Jesus say? Jesus says, "Today salvation has come to this house." Salvation has come to this man. So here's an example where giving money away, tithing, has saved Zacchaeus. And you think, well, was that necessarily a tithe? It's like, well, most likely if he was really wealthy and he was cheating people, which he said that he'd pay back fourfold, so he was probably cheating people, he probably was also cheating God. He probably also wasn't tithing. So this is an opportunity for not only for him to make amends, but also for him to put money forth and trust God that, you know what, like, I'm going to give it away because the hole in my heart is too big to be filled with wealth. Second example of tithing in the Bible, in the Old Testament, Tobit. You got the book of Tobit, and Tobit 12. It's really amazing. At the very end of the book of Tobit, all of a sudden, Tobiah and Tobit find out that the whole time Raphael, who's been with them, is like an angel who goes before the throne of God, and Raphael, or Raphael, however you want to say it, reveals who he is. And when he reveals who he is, he starts to give these spiritual nuggets that are phenomenal. Go read Tobit 12. And he says, it's better to give alms than store up gold. It's better to give alms than store up gold. And you think, well, wait a second, I need to store up gold. I need to have a retirement. Shouldn't I have an IRA? Like, sure, you know, you can have a retirement, but better than storing up a lot is to give your alms. Make for darn sure that you're giving money away. And so he goes on to say, Raphael says this. So this is an angel from God who says, almsgiving saves from death. Like, there's another example that, like, almsgiving, giving money away, will save you from death. And then the second thing he says is that almsgiving purges sin. So, like, it actually helps get sin out of your life. And I have an example in my own life. At some point, I was doing, like, a general examination of conscience, and I started thinking back when I was in high school. I worked for my uncle. He managed this mobile home park. And there was, and he had me do various jobs. One of the jobs that I had was that I would get like a weed eater with a blade on it, and he wanted me to go back in this back storage area and use the blade and cut down all these massive weeds, and it was kind of fun. But what I noticed is some of the really big weeds, when I would try to whack them with the blade, it would stop the blade. They were so tough. But I found if I swung the weed eater, like it would come down and it would just cut right into those big honking weeds. And so I got kind of crazy with it. I'm in the storage area and I'm swinging around the weed eater with the blade, and I'm cutting things left and right. But wasn't that all that strong. And as I swung it around, it got a little out of control, and there was a boat in the storage area. I'm laughing. It wasn't funny at the time, but this boat with this beautiful cover, and I swung and it went over my head and poof, cut right into the boat cover and into a little gash into the upholstery of the seat of the boat. And I was like, oh my gosh, you're like, this is terrible. And so I didn't know what to do. I was cowardly. I should have just faced up to it. I remember at the time thinking, oh my gosh, I can't afford to pay for this. And I didn't tell anybody. I mean, talk about wrong. I mean, I think now, you know, like what would happen the day that the people went and looked on their boat and they saw, oh, some jerk cut through our boat cover and sliced, wasn't a big slice, but it doesn't matter, sliced into the upholstery of our boat. And it was years later that I was doing examination of conscience, and all of a sudden, like I had buried that memory. And all of a sudden I remembered, it was like, oh no. Like I really rooked over those people, and I didn't do anything to pay for that. So I went to confession. I was like, you know, that was 20, 30 years ago. I went to confession and I said, you know, Father, I want to be forgiven of this, but how do I ever make amends for what I did? And he said, well, how much do you think it costs to do that? And at the time, actually, this is probably way too low, but I was ignorant. And I said, well, you know, it's got to be at least $500. I mean, if you patched it, but I mean, if you replaced a boat cover and some upholstery, it's probably a couple thousand, whatever. At the time, I just thought, okay, it's probably about $500, Father. He said, okay. And I said, I have no way to get a hold of these people. And so he said, give $500 away to a ministry. Just give it away. And whenever you do, don't get any benefit from it. Like, don't get any tax. Don't do it for taxes or whatever. Just give the money. And I said, oh, okay, I'll do that. 2 days later, I was at a meeting at this ministry, and the lady in the ministry said, oh, I have this opportunity, and it's an opportunity to go to this, to a conference, but I don't have the money to go, and it's going to cost $500. And I remember after the meeting, during the meeting, I thought, oh gosh, you know, like talk about a setup, like perfect. Like I didn't want to do this, but I need to do this. So I talked to her after the meeting, and I said, you can go, like, I'll give you the $500. I said, on one condition, you don't tell anybody, and don't give me a tax receipt. Just accept the money. So almsgiving purges from sin. I was very grateful. I felt a relief when I was able to hand away that money and be like, Lord, I can't fix it, but you can. Beyond that, Raphael says, giving, if you give, those who give alms will enjoy a long life. And you could say, well, yeah, I know somebody who doesn't give any alms, and they've lived a long time. It's like, no, the key word here is enjoy. And like, no, they enjoy themselves. You know, they have alcohol and beautiful house and blah. And it's like, no, I said enjoy, not pleasure, because there's a difference between spiritual joy and pleasure. You know, pleasure can feel good, but spiritual joy has a deeper peace that people have. And so giving alms, you get to enjoy a full life, and you get to actually have a peace and a joy in your soul. Third example from scripture, Malachi 3. In Malachi 3, and in some Bibles, a lot of Bibles, it's the last chapter of the Old Testament. And God is speaking, and he says, can anyone rob God? Can anybody rob God? Of course you can't rob God, but God says you can. He says, you are robbing me, yet you are robbing me. It's like, hold on a second. You've got in the Bible, God is saying, you are robbing me. And so like, and he says, how am I being robbed? By your tithes and your offerings. Like you are not tithing. You are not offering to me what I've asked you to give. And so he says, bring the whole tithe from the storehouse, bring the whole tithe so that there will be food in my house. So it's like, well, hold on a second. We're robbing God by not tithing. Yeah, that's what he said. We're actually robbing him. And so then he goes further than that. So it's not just that he gives us the, hey, you're robbing me, but he says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Put me to the test. So when he's asking us to tithe, he's saying, put me to the test. You know, in scripture, later in scripture, Jesus said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test when he's talking to Satan. But in the Old Testament, he says, put me to the test over what? Over giving away a tenth of my money. And it's like, really? God is saying, test me in this? Like, okay. And then he goes on to give this promise. And he said, will I not open the floodgates of heaven for you and pour down? So he's going to open up the floodgates of heaven and pour down blessings without measure. Like, are you kidding? Without measure? Now, again, some people say, well, this is a prosperity gospel. It's like, you know what? It is. It's just that the prosperity may have some material ramifications, but it'll definitely be blessings is the word that he uses, so that God will bless you, and he'll for sure bless you eternally. He'll also bless you in this lifetime. He'll bless me. So, like, what is a tithe? A tithe is a tenth of, you know, giving away a tenth of your income. And some people say, well, do you tithe on gross or on net? And it's like, well, quite honestly, I tithe on gross. And is that gross? Yes. Does it hurt? Yes. It's difficult. Do you have to do it that way? There's arguments on both sides, but I figure, like, I'm going to be generous with God because I want him to be generous with me and with my family, and frankly, generous with the whole world. He already is generous, but he's requiring of us. He wants us to trust him. And so I had an example where I was struggling financially. I had some rental property. And so I sold a rental property, and I sold it at the beginning of the year. And then we went through the whole year, and I didn't make much other money at all. and then at the end of the year, and I didn't tithe on it. My mistake. I didn't tithe on it because I was thinking, well, this is all the money I have. Well, God asked for our first fruits, which means that we should give the money right away. And so I hadn't done that. I was concerned. At the end of the year, I waited till tax time. And when tax time happened, I went and calculated like how much that property actually made after all the expenses and everything. And it was like, oh my gosh, it was a chunk. And I had now spent it all. So almost a year and 4 months had gone by, and I had spent the money, and I realized that I needed to tithe $13,000. I didn't have $13,000. I had spent all of that money to pay for school, to pay for bills, to pay for all counseling, all the different things that we're paying for. And it was like, Lord, like, what am I going to do? And I thought, you know what? I need to step up. And so I had a line of credit on the house, and it's like, I can take money off the line of credit. I took painfully $13,000 off the line of credit. And then, so beyond the pain, there was something that was fun about it, because it was like, you know what, Lord, I'm going to trust you in this because I need to make more money. And I didn't give the money that I should be giving to you, so I'm going to do that now. And what was fun was picking the different places that I give it to. And so part of what I count as a tithe is, like, we had some relatives who were in a tough situation. Even though we were in a tough situation, they had worse than what we had. And so, like, I was like, okay. And so, like, I gave, you know, $2,000 over here and $1,500 over there, and I gave some to the church, and I picked some different ministries that we wanted to give to. And it was actually kind of joyful after I got over the pain of it. It is totally worth, like, now I know the joy inside, the joy of the Lord for having given away the money when it was so painful to do it in the first place. And Scott Hahn, I heard him in a talk once, who said that there's a difference between tithing and almsgiving. He said that almsgiving is everything that we give after the tithe. And I think, oh man, the tithe is also already painful. You mean almsgiving doesn't start until tithing has been completed? I don't know to what degree that happens. All I know is that for me, I want to give away at least 10% a year. And I just count that. It's like, that's God's money. So, like he has 100% of the money. He hands that to me. I give him back 10% of it, plus hopefully a little bit more. And then I get to keep 90. Okay, that's a good deal. It's like, some people say, well, you worked for that. It's like, yeah, I did work for that. And who gave me the health to work for that? I wasn't dead. You know, I could have died this year, and I didn't die. So who gave me the health? Who gave me the energy? Who gave me the intelligence? Who gave me whatever I needed? It's like God did. Everything that I'm working with, I didn't acquire on my own. It's like, well, it was your own gumption. It's like, okay, but like, who gave me the energy to have the gumption? God. Everything was given to me by God, and I'm going to give him back 10%. It's like, this is a deal. Like, how often do you want to do this deal? You're going to keep, like, you're going to give me a huge gift, and I get to keep 90% and just give 10% back? Sure, I'll do that. So lastly, I would say, if you need to do some catch-up tithing, like I did, consider different things. Think of relatives who need help. Think of ministries. Give money to the church. Please consider Family Conquest. Family Conquest ministry, which is what we're trying to put forward, the whole Family Conquest program. What is it? Well, first of all, why is it important? Pope John Paul II, Saint Pope John Paul II said, as the family goes, so goes the nation and so goes the world. And I don't know how many times that I feel saddened by all the what all is going wrong in the world. And you think for a second, it's like, whoa, wait a second. Like, I don't have authority or influence over many people, but I do over my family. I have spiritual authority over my family, and I have influence in my family. And so, like, why is Family Conquest important? Because the family is crucial. Go home and love your family. Do what's right by your family. And so what does Family Conquest do? Is that we give a tool to make it easy for parents to engage their children by using viral YouTube videos. So go and getting cool viral YouTube videos that your kids are gonna wanna watch anyways, you're gonna wanna watch, but short videos, and then pull from them some kind of truth about God. And it's fun and it's easy. And then the goal is twofold. One is to learn the truth, get to know God better, to love him better. And secondly, to grow in your relationship with your children and with each other, because you're made for truth and love. And in order to love, you need to trust. So tithe so that you can really learn to trust God and to love him and to love your family better. So I encourage that. Click on the link below right now, where we need to raise $81,000. We're down to about a little bit below $80,000 right now. $80,000 by May 20th to fund this ministry. So to tithe is to trust, and to trust is to triumph. Triumph in this lifetime and in the next. Go for it.